Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
Now is your chance to win four tickets to see the Seahawks take on the 49ers on Thursday Night Football, December 15th. This could decide the division. Thursday Night Football, primetime, four tickets. That's a nice, I mean, this isn't just like a pair. Four tickets to see Thursday Night Football, Seahawks, 49ers. Pairs. It's two pairs or four singles. But you have to answer a question correctly when you call. Here is your question. Listen carefully. I'll repeat it once. In four down territory, which XFL team uniforms did Bump say are his favorite? So if you have your answer, I'll repeat the question after this. Call right now with your answer, 866-979-3776. Here it is again. In four down territory, which XFL team uniforms did Bump say are his favorite? The number to call, 866-979-3776. First caller with the right answer gets it. Curtis is ready to answer the phones. 866-979-3776. The winner will receive four tickets to see the Seahawks fight for first place in the NFC West against San Francisco on Thursday Night Football, December 15th. A couple minutes ago, I teased, hey, what are your guys' favorite pizzas? Because Bump said one the other day that truly made my jaw drop, and I don't mean to be pretentious. I was genuinely surprised. Here are some answers from the 425. My wife and I were in Venice and found a pizza that was basically my mod order, but in Italy, it was the best. A lot of people say Pagliacci, local favorite. There's one near my house. Highly recommend the Margarita. I would say margarita on accident. Margarita. I don't know why. I just pronounce words. I say pit instead of put on accident.
What's wrong with margarita?
It is what it is. Rocky Rococo's Supreme Pizza in Spokane. Delfino's in U Village. Giordano's in Chicago. Oh, this is a well-traveled person. In Chicago.
Delfino's!
Getting to. Bump. You said your favorite. Yeah. Favorite pizza? The best pizza you've ever had in your life. Taylor Jacobs, who was back there at the time, goes, oh, me and my wife went to Italy. It was amazing. Best
never
pizza I've ever had.
I've never been.
You said your favorite pizza, best pizza you'd ever had in your entire life was.
Yeah. I don't like the way you set me up right now, though. I don't appreciate it.
I said I'd put you on blast.
Hey, and you know what? You guys got a lot of great,
answer it yet. You're trying to build up context you don't need. Just say the answer.
But you know what? Because it's not delivery.
Oh, my God.
It's DiGiorno.
You said DiGiorno out of every pizza you've ever had in your entire life.
Bomb.
DiGiorno.
Bomb.
Every pizza you've had.
The crust, I can cook it exactly the way I want to.
I'm like truly offended.
DiGiorno.
I say this knowing like DiGiorno's the best frozen pizza hands down.
Yeah.
You didn't even want to say like Pizza Hut.
Nah, pizza is whack.
You're whack. No one out pizza's the Hut.
Domino's, all right. Alfie's, cool. Jet City, maybe. DiGiorno.
Yes.
DiGiorno. Not delivery. DiGiorno.
God. You know what? We like what we like.
Yeah.
I won't fight you on it. I just thought it was funny, because especially following
Who's
Taylor.
Yours?
Mine was, I went Pagliacci. The margarita pizza. However, one time it was very early in the morning / late at night, and I ordered me and my roommate ordered a pizza, and because my memory isn't clear, I don't remember from where we ordered the pizza, and I've tried to find it for 10 years and I haven't found it.
Man.
It's somewhere in like Green Lake, Wallingford, or whatever, and you know what, it probably doesn't even exist anymore because so many places shut down after COVID.
At least I know where to get mine.
QFC. All right, let's get to some of this sound. Is it Brian Reynolds or bust for the Mariners? That was a question we were wondering earlier. Jerry DePoto said, look, you know, we're building a championship team, but I'm paraphrasing what he's saying. We see free agency as a way to augment the team, not build the team. We want to draft, develop, and trade. That's how we're building our championship team.
Right.
So if you're waiting for them to sign Carlos Correa, it's not going to happen. If you're waiting for them to have signed, they now can't, Aaron Judge, it was never going to happen. They're making moves in free agency that are like, hey, well, we'll kind of, I mean, the biggest move would have been Robbie Ray, but like we're making little moves to augment.
Yeah. They're not a all in type of team. You know, I play poker with my family sometimes. And when I play poker, honestly, my goal is like to outlast everybody. I'm like, oh, I'm just here to have fun. You know, I put in my $100.
Everyone has fun.
You know what I mean? I just want to outlast people. There's some people who are like all in secondhand. I'm like, come on, dude. Like, what are you doing? Like, my father-in-law does it all the time. I'm like, we get it. You got way more money than anybody else at this table, Ramon. Like, we get it. Big bank taint, little bank. The Hawks, the Mariners are me when it comes to, this offseason. Because they're like, look, I'm just gonna mm-hmm. hang around, gonna make a move here, gonna make a move there, and maybe if the moment presents itself, if I look around the table and I got most of the chips and everyone else is struggling, I'm like, boom, now I go for the big move. Maybe that's what I think these Mariners are doing. They're waiting, they're lurking, they're being patient, they're making a couple picks, and then hopefully there's a splash. But if not, they're just hanging around.
Now, that splash may be Brian Reynolds, who reportedly wants a trade. It feels like he could be a realistic target for the Mariners. This was Ryan Divish talking about what his top realistic wish would be, and he did say it was Reynolds.
It would be Brian Reynolds. It would be the number one because he is everything that the Mariners want, like, to be, like, to fix their team. He can play all three outfield spots. I mean, I don't know that he's an elite center fielder anymore, but he's still a really good center fielder. Switch hitter, he produces, he can run, he's athletic, he sees the ball, you know, he works the count. He is the guy. I mean, they've had a baseball crush on Brian Reynolds for years. And it was funny, I asked one time, you guys ever consider Brian Reynolds? They're like, yeah, we're not stupid.
And now I have a baseball crush on Brian Reynolds. Why? Is it because I've been watching Brian Reynolds' entire career? No, it's because I so badly want this offense to be really, really competitive. And if there was one area where this team struggled last year, it was consistency offensively. And I love the addition of Teoscar Hernandez. I love the addition of Colton Wong. I just wish there was a little bit more. And it feels like this team is more willing to do that via trade than free agency.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. And again, we talked about the farm system. That's why you accumulate all these prospects. You can make moves like you did with Castillo to make things more attractive. Now, if you do want to get a guy like Reynolds, you're going to have to give up someone who's on your roster right now. The Pirates are looking for a pitcher, an outfielder, and a prospect. Do you have all three? Yes, you do. But who exactly are they looking for? And is Jared Kelnick mm-hmm. a guy that they are interested in? And then the question for us would be, are you ready to give up on JK? He's 23 years old. He's had some moments. He's had some ups and downs. We're finally getting used to his personality. We get him. We understand him. But are we patient enough to keep going through these growing pains with him instead of just going after a guy who's established? You did that last year with Winker, mm-hmm. and it just didn't work out. If Winker were anywhere near the guy that we saw the year before, we might feel differently about this guy. But that's what the offseason is all about. It's all about risk and reward, taking your chances, trying to make your team better. The Mariners think they've made their team better, and I think they have made them better.
I do, too. With
Teoscar Hernandez, you got Wong as well. Like, you've made your team better, but is it good enough to compete with the Astros and the big dogs? I'm not sure it is yet. So that's why we're eager and we're anticipating a bigger move.
Curtis, do you see the team potentially, like, do you think the Brian Reynolds trade is very realistic? And does it seem that without a doubt Kelnick would have to be part of that package?
I think it's realistic for the Mariners. I think they do have enough that they can part with in order to get Brian Reynolds back. And I do think Jared Kelnick would have to be part of that package in order to get a player like Brian Reynolds back, because the Pirates are looking for guys that are either on the cusp of the big leagues or have already made it to the big leagues. And as we know, Jared Kelnick is maybe the player in baseball that is the most on the cusp of breaking through in the big leagues, because he's, you know, spent a lot of time in AAA a year ago. He spent a lot of time at the big league level over the last couple seasons.
And has excelled in the minors.
He has.
That's what makes it tempting.
And has excelled at the minors and just has tools that wow you. He has, like, despite the fact that he has not really produced at the major league level, there are always those flashes where it's like, oh my gosh, if this guy ever, like, broke through at the big league level, we're looking at a potential all-star. I think back to that 2-home run game he had at the end of the season last year, where it's just like, man, this guy, this is what we were promised, you know, over a year ago when he first debuted. Maybe the Pirates bite on that potential and say, yeah, we want to go with the younger guy. And, you know, his youth still makes him a very appealing prospect. Yes, he has had 2 years of very below average production with the bat at the major league level. But like people like to point out, he's only 23 years old. So there is a, you know, there's a lot of youth to him right now that you're still trading for somebody who's the age of most top prospects.
The only thing keeping me hanging on to Jared Kelnick would be the hope that he would pop and the fear that were you to trade Kelnick, you potentially have Jesse Winker, Kyle Lewis, Jared Kelnick as pieces that you've traded, and any one of them could take off because all three are certainly capable of it.
But
that's the risk inherent with the trade.
In a position where they can wait around for guys.
And that's why I think no. Because I feel like there is a gap in the homegrown talent that you have for a bat. Like you have Dollard, you have Hancock as like really promising arms that are going to debut even as soon as 2023. I think they're expected in 2023, which is great news. Like you have been great at drafting and developing arms. I mean, two of your best draft picks have been Gilbert and Kirby, and both of them are part of your starting lineup. You have two great bats you've developed with Julio Rodriguez and Cal Raleigh. There's just a gap in, like, I'm not seeing the homegrown talent that you're going to be able to bring up that's going to make a huge impact offensively the way, and probably didn't do it right away, but the way that, you know, someone even less talented than Julio could. I feel like there is a piece of the offense that's still missing that they don't have in-house right now. So I just feel like you have no choice but to hit free agency or trade. You know, like you can only say draft and develop until I look at your farm system and say, well, God, who do you have coming up in 2023?
Yeah,
I don't see it.
Draft and develop. I mean, you already got rid of a lot of prospects, right, recently. But draft and develop means 2 to 3 years, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? Like you mentioned, there's nobody right now that you can say, okay, this kid is ready to go. We're going to bring him up. Let's get this thing going. So because you don't have that guy, you just got to be aggressive in free agency. And someone asked, like, are they really better with Teoscar and Wong? So who are they replacing, right? In the outfield, we're replacing Winker. On paper, Teoscar Hernandez is better than Winker. Then we're talking about second base. Who are you placing at second base? You're going to split duty with Demo, and you're pretty much replacing Fraser. I think on paper, you are better at those positions. As a team, you are better. Are you good enough to be contenders is the question. No doubt that they've gotten better. But are you good enough to be contenders? No, I don't think so. Not quite. And I think that they understand that. If they do not think that, what they're saying is, okay, we have enough here already to at least duplicate what we did last year. And if that's the goal, just to duplicate what you did last year, then I think the mentality is off. But I know these guys are smart. At least I believe that they are. And they've done this, they do this for a living. I don't. They understand that they need to do more to be legit World Series contenders.
All right, we haven't talked any college ball today. We're going to get to that at 1:30 with Jordan Reffitt. Curtis, did someone call in with the answer?
They did. We had a winner, Brian in Olympia.
Brian?
Well,
my
wow.
Brian called
in. I didn't know
he
lived out in Olympia.
No, he doesn't live in
Olympia. Is he going to take you to the game?
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We're
going to go.
Yep.
Yep. We're going to go for like a couples date.
Oh,
kind of thing,
well, it's so. Four tickets. Stacey, I think it's a conflict of interest if you win these tickets or somebody you know wins.
Oh, no, that's
I
not
think
my
that's like
Brian.
A,
that's
I
a
think
different.
It's like a highly illegal thing in the radio industry.
No. That's a different Brian won.
Yeah.
My Brian is, he doesn't
Brian
need the
Bryanston is his name, right?
His name is Brian Bryanston. He doesn't need the tickets. He was actually personally invited to the game by Pete Carroll.
Wow.
Yeah, Pete Carroll was trying to recruit him
at
USC.
But this Brian in Olympia came through with the winning answer. So.
Congratulations, Brian in Olympia.
And three friends.
You and
three
friends.
Enemies.
Yeah, keep your enemies close.
Yeah.
Are going to enjoy what should be a very, very fun and very important Thursday night football matchup between the Seahawks and 49ers. Have a ton of fun, and thank you for listening to us, and importantly, to Four Down Territory, where you got that answer. I mean, sorry, and shout out to everyone who called in. It's just Brian was quick. You know, got to be quicker than
Be quicker than that.
Got to be quicker than that. Jordan Reffitt again, joining us in 15 minutes right now. Let's get to Four Down Territory.
This is Four Down Territory, going inside the game with former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
First down, Tariq Woolen, 6 interceptions on the season, tying C.J. Gardner-Johnson for first place in the league. Why is Tariq, at this point in the season, your runaway Defensive Rookie of the Year player?
Runaway is not even close, and I keep seeing PFF
it's not close. Gardner?
They keep trying to throw sauce in there, and yeah. I'm going to tell you why it's not sauce. All right, let's just look at the numbers before anything else. T-Woo, 6 interceptions. Sauce, 1. T-Woo, 1 forced fumble. Sauce, 0. T-Woo, 2 fumble recoveries. Sauce, 0. T-Woo, 1 block field goal that led to a touchdown. Sauce, 0.
Well, how many deals with Buffalo Wild Wings does Tariq Woolen have?
0.
Exactly.
T-Woo, 12 passes defended. Sauce, 15. Give him that, okay? But sure. I also think that guys ain't testing my guy like they do Sauce. I'm probably about equal. You don't test Sauce that much neither. But now let's go down. The argument I keep seeing is, oh, well, the receivers that he's gone up against. Man, Sauce Gardner's gone up against some guys. Facts, he has. He's gone up against Higgins, Jamar Chase, Claypool, but Claypool only had 2 targets that game. Tyreek Hill, you got Waddle, Diggs, and Jefferson. That's a heck of a lineup to go up against. Well, let's not sleep on T-Woo. He went up against Deebo Samuels, Drake, and Pitts. Okay, the young guys trying to figure it out over there in Atlanta.
Sure.
Olave, young guy, Hopkins, Mike Williams, and Devontae Adams. So there's any edge is going to be who Sauce has played against. But you look at the numbers, this guy is tied for the league in interceptions. One of your job descriptions as a DB is to prevent the receiver from catching a football. And if you can take it out the air for an interception, you go ahead and do that. And let me not forget, T-Woo has an interception for a touchdown as well. Sauce just does it. Now, athletically, technique-wise, can Sauce hang with Woolen? Most definitely. But let's look at the numbers. Simple as that. Tariq Woolen, as of now, should be your Defensive Rookie of the Year.
I'll also say this. Trevon Diggs with Dallas got not Defensive Rookie of the Year because it was last year, but Defensive Player of the Year, I think. He had 11 interceptions. He had plenty, and he was a first-team All-Pro. He had plenty of questions about coverage, but the picks alone, people were like, look, if you got that flashy stat and it is out of this world, double digits, we got to give it to you. It's like sacks. You might really struggle with defending the run, but if you've got 20 sacks,
yeah.
Man, no one can fight those numbers.
Diggs gave up over 1,000 yards receiving last year, too.
Exactly.
Crazy.
Trash player. No, I'm just Second down. Speaking of Diggs, do you think the Cowboys leaked the news about Odell Beckham's knee? You have to remind us of the news. And also, what do you make of this getting out to the public?
So the news that got leaked was that Odell Beckham's knee probably isn't going to be ready to go until like mid-January. And it happened to leak after the Cowboys had met with him. So do I think they leaked that? Most definitely they did. And why did they do that? So other teams don't have an interest in him. So they can force Odell Beckham to sign a longer contract, right, for that security. And I don't like the move, but I understand the move. If you're the Cowboys, you want a guy like him, you want that information out so your competitors can second-guess themselves. If I'm Odell Beckham, I'm hot, man.
Yeah.
I'm hot. Because you're like, look, man, you're messing with my money. You have too much influence on what's going to happen next in my career. You would like for business to be nice and clean and good old handshake, look you in the eye and say, I trust you. We're going to do this with some integrity. That's not how the game goes, especially in football where your body is everything. If there's any advantage a team could get, they're going to take that. And it's Jerry Jones, man.
Well,
he's a rich man for a reason.
I was going to say, you know what I think Jerry Jones would never do, though?
What's that?
Nothing. I think that he would absolutely leak this. I think he would do anything for the Cowboys to get to a Super Bowl, even if that means making other teams back off of making Odell Beckham Jr. some offers. Third down. What's a matchup you're looking forward to watching this weekend?
I'm looking for Burns, the DN for the Carolina Panthers against, of course, our young offensive tackles.
This
These guys have been tested this year. Burns has 10 sacks on the season, one of the league leaders. So far this year, man, these tackles, I've seen Bradley Chubb when he was with Denver. He's now with Miami. Nick Bosa, Aiden Hutchinson, Cam Jordan. Every week it seems like they've been tested. Max Crosby a couple weeks ago. These guys have been tested. So I just want to see just their development. I mean, we saw Abe struggle a little bit against Max Crosby, but my guy was sick. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. But this is going to be a challenge right here. If there's anything that can disrupt this offense, it is a great pass rush because that is what the Hawks do the best. They throw the football with efficiency, and now we're seeing them toss it down the field a bit. A 40-yard touchdown by DK, a 36-yard touchdown by Tyler Lockett. So tackles. Let's have another good week. You've been tested all year. Handle business. You'll be all right.
Fourth down. The XFL. NFL is back. I mean, it's back already. Technically, play will pick up in February, though the uniforms are officially out. Who has your favorite one so far?
All right, so I'm going to do my best to describe what I'm seeing. You guys go to ESPN, they'll let you know. The Arlington Renegades give you a Houston Oilers type of feel.
Okay.
The DC Defenders give you a 49ers type of feel. Houston Roughnecks give you Houston, Texas type of feel. The Orlando Guardians give you an Oregon feel. The San Antonio, what is that? Brahmas? What's a Brahma? Am I saying that right?
A Brahma?
Am I saying that right?
How do you spell it?
B-R-A-H-M-A-S.
Curtis, what's a Brahma? You're supposed to know everything.
Look.
Curtis, why don't you know?
Anyway, there's another team called the Lone Star Brahmas. It's a bowl.
Okay. That makes sense. San Antonio. Okay.
Sure.
They're giving you a Steelers type of feel. The Dragons give me like an Auburn type of feel if they had orange jerseys. St. Louis gives you the Colts. And then the Vegas Vipers just give you black and red. Can't think of anybody. Maybe the Texas Tech. So far, my favorite jersey.
Don't say the Brahmas.
Nah, St. Louis, man. I like that royal blue and silver on the shoulders. I'm feeling that. Of course, I support the Seattle Dragons, but I'm all about the swag. Hey, this one goes up to John Clayton because he hates talking about uniforms. So whenever we talk about uniforms, I got a big up to my guy, John Clayton. Rest in peace. But yeah, man, these jerseys are better than what I expected. Typically with these expansion leagues, these jerseys just look like I'm watching any given Sunday with those corny
like
looking
fake
jerseys.
Let's see what's on tap.
This is What's on Tap with Bump and Stacey, brought to you by Dick's Driving. So, folks, what's on tap?
All right, you got Thursday night football tomorrow. It is the Raiders, who are on a win streak, by the way, taking on the Rams. We'll see how that goes. Are we going to see Baker Mayfield? I don't know, but I'll tell you who you won't see, and that is Aaron Donald missing his second consecutive game. More importantly, Curtis, it is Wednesday.
Oh,
that means we got Survivor.
Yes.
That's what's on tap. Do you guys ever like look forward to specific days of the week and the only reason is because it's a TV show and
yes,
you're in a good mood that day and people are like, why are you in a good mood? And you want to say it's because Survivor's on or Real Housewives is on and you can't. You can't say it because they're going to be like, wow, your whole life is built around a TV show having a new episode. Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Sundays.
What's on Sundays?
Yellowstone.
Yeah. Great show. I'm really into White Lotus. Finale is coming up this Sunday. Very into that right now. Obviously, Survivor. This is a big one, Curtis.
It is. I believe this is the second to final episode before the season finale.
Yeah.
So,
no one asked, but there is a Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. So I don't know how much of our audience
down
is watching.
To, I think the final six after tonight. Going to be a big one.
It's a big one.
Great time to get in.
That's what's on tap.
After 43 seasons, it's a great time to get in.
Yeah, it is never too late to start.
No, it's not.
That's what's on tap tonight and also tomorrow for Thursday Night Football. We are talking UW and a few Pac-12 bowl games with Jordan Reffitt. He joins us next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
Jordan Reffitt joining us now. Let's talk UW. Let's talk college football and let's talk some bowl games. He joins us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Jordan, how's it going?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you guys doing? Lots of white stuff over here in Eastern Washington, though. It's nice and cool.
Nice and cool out there. What's up, Jay Ref? It's been a minute, dog.
My man, Bump, man, I'm so happy and glad to hear from you, man. This is awesome, man. You're big time now, and I'm rooting for me. I root for you all the time. Every time I see you, I say, hey, I know that guy. That's my boy, Bump. Man, we used to room together down in Florida.
Yeah, so me and Jordan had the same agents. When we were done playing football, we went down to Florida, trained together. He was my roommate, and he is a personality on Twitter. If you guys don't follow him, man, make sure you follow Jordan Reffitt. He's constantly defending UW with all his pride and his heart, with all the honor, and I appreciate it, man. So my first question to you is about Michael Penix, man. With him returning, what does that do for this football program? I thought he was going to leave.
No, this is such a huge, really program-changing decision. Instead of being a one-year wonder, come in, grad transfer, now you're talking about a serious Husky legend leading a team to 10-2 before the bowl game, 10 wins after that just tragic 4-8 season last year. It means so much to this university, the city, these fans. Husky Nation has been beaten down and obviously went through COVID like everybody else, but then that 2021 season was just brutal after going through those great Chris Peterson years. And now there's something to look forward to with obviously the coach of the year, co-coach of the year, Coach DeBoer, and then Penix coming back. I mean, he's a guy that can make every throw. He's a great leader. He's a guy that gives you a chance in every football game. It's one of those things where right now I think season tickets are probably going through the roof because everybody wants to go watch Michael Penix and this offense play at Husky Stadium.
Full disclosure, I am a UW alum, so while I want the best for Penix and completely thought he'd leave, I was also really elated to hear that he was coming back. Should I or any other UW fans have any concern about the offense potentially being without a few linemen next year, or do you expect just as good or even better a unit?
Well, number one, that's a great question because this offensive line was one of the best offensive line units as a whole in the entire country. The way that they kept Penix upright and healthy was phenomenal. But the good news is that we got guys waiting in the wind, and we got guys coming back like Nathan Kalipo, a lot of these guys at the two guard spots that we're losing that have played a lot of football. And to me, with the youngsters and the veterans they had this year, now they were able to bring along guys like Roger Rosegarden, who's one of the best young tackles in the game. He's coming back, and he's going to be better. But I think that there's lots of good football left to be played on that offensive line, and guys that have played good football will be coming back at those guard spots.
Now, Ref, we got the Heisman coming up here. You got your Heisman finalists. You got CJ at Ohio State. You got Caleb Williams. You got the kid out of TCU, and then you have Stetson Bennett. That is where I have an issue. One of the friends of the show, morning host, Mr. Brock Heward, says Stetson deserves to be there and Michael Penix Jr. does not deserve to be there. I just look at the numbers. More yards, better completions, more touchdowns. And I look at the way that they play, the style of play. And I figure if you put Michael Penix on Georgia, everyone's going to love him. He's going to be in New York for the Heisman Trophy finalists. When you look at this situation, do you feel like Penix should be in the mix? And if it's not Stetson Bennett, who would you remove to replace?
You know, that's a great question. That's a great analogy, too. I mean, do you think the Huskies are 10-2 right now if Stetson is a quarterback?
Heck no. That's a great
great analogy. When you brought that up, I'm glad you did. And Brock had some opportunities when he was on the broadcast of the Apple, or not the Apple Cup, I think it was the Pac-12 championship game, to talk about Penix. He did not. So I love Brock, by the way, but he was on my naughty list for that. But when you talk about Penix, you know, a lot of these Duck fans on Twitter or, you know, guys that aren't big fans of the Huskies, they talk about, oh, well, you know, Luke Falk and all these guys, and they were great, great passers. And I always tried to give them credit under the Mike Leach regime when they had all these yards and things like that. But the throws that Michael Penix makes, and not only the throws, but the pressure-packed drives that he led this year against Oregon State, against Oregon. I mean, these are pressure-packed, really, really, I mean, finite details that he has to get right. Not only the play call, the checks, everything that he has to do right on those drives, and the throws have to be precision. You know, they're not just an out route, a 7-yard out, right, all the way down the field. I mean, he's hitting 40-yard bombs. He's hitting 30-yard bombs. These are things that guys just don't do regularly in college football. So I think he was left out. It was one of those things, the Huskies, and this is my alma mater, they could have done a better job of really pumping up Michael Penix Jr. about halfway through the season when they knew, man, this guy is really, really special. If we can keep him healthy, he should be in that conversation. You know, obviously the ASU game really hurt the Huskies looking back at that, you know, not only for the Heisman, but obviously the Pac-12 championship, the CFP, all these things we talked about, the Rose Bowl. But 100% Michael Penix should have been in New York. I'm not saying he should have won it. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it, but he should have replaced Stetson 100% because of that one analogy that you just made. That was a great analogy, Bump.
Good job, Bump. You're feeling really proud of yourself. He's patting his own chest right now, Jordan.
My guy, JF, looking out for me.
Hey, Jordan, we all want to see, well, maybe not Bump, but we all want to see Washington take another step forward next year. If they do that, and if they're really trying to push toward the top of those AP rankings and college football playoff rankings, where do they need to improve?
I think that it's one of those things that was an obvious glaring issue throughout the season. was tackling. And on the defensive side of the ball, even special teams. And a lot of that has to do with bodies and being able to have enough guys to really fill in when you have, when you have those injuries that happen throughout the season. Obviously, the Arizona State game is a great example of having to go down there and play four or five true freshmen and end up, having a loss on the road because of recruiting, right? Our recruiting needs to be at the top of the Pac-12 level. We have to be able to keep the standard. If a freshman comes in, he's got to be able to play. And really on the defensive side of the ball, I thought that that is where it reared its ugly head. We missed a lot of tackles. I thought that the coaches put our guys in position to win. We got to make sure that we have a situation where guys are making plays. And that comes down to recruiting. And that's one of those things that I think they're obviously going to – it's going to have to elevate as we move forward as a 10-win football team. You know, they're going to the Alamo Bowl. They're going to be showcased. They're on ESPN. They're getting a lot of publicity. This recruiting has to pick up, and they're doing a great job. Coach DeBoer, I want to give a shout-out to him. He is a guy that gets probably anywhere from 700 to 1,000 text messages after every game. You can think after an Apple Cup win or an Oregon win. He goes through and texts every single person back, even my little lowly self. I'm just a big fan, right? I'm a fanboy now. He texts me back. He's a guy that people want to play for. He's the most genuine guy I've ever met when it comes to a head coach in college football. And I met a lot of them. I've been around a lot of guys. He is so genuine. I get to go up there and visit with those guys. It's amazing. So when he goes in and sits down and talks to these people, hey, whether it's a high school coach or a family member or a parent, you know that he's going to be able to take care of your boy and put him in a position to be successful, whether it's football-wise or life-wise. So I think that's the key for our defense to really elevate, is to recruit at the portal, get some great guys in there, and be able to play for one of the best head coaches right now in college football, Coach DeBoer.
Well, Jordan, before we get you out of here, man, I wanted to say congratulations, baby number 8. 8 of those
nice
things, man.
Yeah,
December
thank
1st,
you, man.
Congrats.
Thank you so much. I'm going to go take me a nap now. It's been a crazy week. She's 1 week old today.
Aww.
We also had the flu go through the house with all my other daughters. It's basketball season, so it's just been chaotic. But I'll tell you one thing. I really appreciate it, man. And I love that you're having me on. And I love listening to you and Stacy. And I love watching you, man. You keep doing a great service to former players and kicking butt, man. We love you.
Appreciate you, man. Love you, too.
That's awesome. Jordan, we need to get you back on during the season, without a doubt. I know that you're swamped right now. We're going to let you go. Go be
awesome.
With family.
Thank you, Stacey.
Thank you. All right, that was Jordan Reffitt joining us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. We are wrapping up the show with What I Need to Know, and we need your questions. 866-979-3776. Again, that text line, 866-979-3776. Any question you have, send it now.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
It's What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Get your questions in right now to the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. I'm going to start with this one, which was from yesterday, but I hung on to it, forgot to get to it. When were you the least disciplined? I ask that to say this. Our defense lacks discipline because they're a young defense, plain and simple.
So you're trying to tap into my life because the Seahawks defense is
why don't you want to answer?
When was I the least disciplined? Sophomore year of college, probably.
So you're like, I'm comfortable with college, but I'm not yet like an adult, really.
I'm like, look, I realize that you don't need to get an A to get your degree.
No, you don't.
C is good enough.
They don't take attendance.
I don't need to show up to every class? You mean I can get notes from someone who went to that class?
My professor would make attendance part of it.
Really?
But he wouldn't tell you which days he was taking attendance.
It happens
and
sometimes.
He also would never, this was the scariest professor I ever had. He would call on you. There was no raising your hand or volunteering to answer. It was for an English class. He'd be like, this passage, blah, 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 blah. Why did the writer do this? Stacy. And he would just point. So if you went to class, you knew you might get called on. And every time he called on you was a chance to either get knocked credit or get credit. It was stressful.
I remember walking into one of my communication classes and I had missed the day before, or maybe a few days. Mm-hmm. And I walked in.
This sophomore year.
It was presentation day.
Ah!
So I sat there for 30 minutes listening to the topic, went up there, just wung it.
There you go.
Did you
A.
No!
Wow.
Oh, you were the person I hated. I would study night after night, work my tail off, and then there'd be the one guy that's like, yeah, teach, I got this, and then just ace it, 4.0. Oh, drives me crazy. Curtis, when were you most least disciplined?
Probably around the same time, like early college. Like when it dawns on you that like, oh, there's no one to wake me up to go to class. Oh, there's no one that is forcing me to do homework here.
Right.
Like, that's kind of when it was like, oh, I'm an adult now.
I'll sit this one out.
Yeah.
What I need to know, is Pete a better defensive-minded coach, or is he a better quarterback coach? I think he's a great defensive coach. I think that Geno's success is in part Geno working behind a lot of guys, and then also more of like Pete's culture versus Pete as a quarterback coach.
No, I think he's a good defensive coach, but he's good at getting into the minds of
athletes. That's what I'm saying.
Like, and understanding what makes them go and what they need in certain moments.
Exactly. Like the idea of being like, hey, I've got this guy coming in who, you know, was seen as the starter, this huge deal for Denver, who failed, but like has been given a lot of things. And then I've got this guy who's been told he's not enough for the past 8 years. Why don't I have the guy who's been told he's not enough tell him he gets a vote of confidence? It's your job to lose, and have the other guy practice working for. It's just, it's an interesting kind of psychological way to train guys.
Yep.
So I think that's where Pete excels. What makes Baby Ruth so much better than Snickers? Aren't they like the same thing? I've eaten a Baby Ruth every day since September. Divine Candy Bar. Wow. I'm going to tell you guys right now, Snickers are not good.
What?
Yeah.
Stop it.
No, I'm serious.
Stop it.
You like it because it's like it's chocolate covered. Peanuts?
Don't tell me what I like.
Very bland. Snickers. Not impressive. They don't impress
me. It's incredible.
What?
It's not. I mean, will I eat it? Yeah, but if I have a dish.
There goes Stacey with one of her
Kit Kat,
food takes.
Twix, Reese's Cups, plain Hershey's, I'll take all four of those over Snickers.
Least credible food takes in the Seattle sports media.
How sway?
Along with Stacey Ross.
No, I don't know about that. Bump, what's your favorite candy?
Reese's.
Thank you.
No one said Snickers
was
their favorite.
No one ever says Snickers.
No, no, no,
you know
no.
why? Because it's not really that great.
It's an incredible candy.
Okay. What's the best steakhouse in Washington besides the Met?
Daniel's.
Daniel's Broiler.
Had a $75 steak there. I'm like, this better be good. Delicious.
Why no love for zero bars? What are zero bars?
I have no idea.
I have no idea what that is.
Sounds healthy.
Again, you can send those questions in 866-979-3776. Bump.
Apparently, it's a Hershey. I don't know what this is.
Is it like an East Coast thing?
It's like white chocolate, I think.
Oh, I don't like white chocolate.
I don't mind white chocolate.
It's too sweet. Bump, what was your favorite memory from when you were being recruited to play college football?
My favorite memory is, I'm not going to tell you what school it was.
Okay.
I get off the airplane. They pick me up in an Escalade on 24s. You have some co-eds with them. And we just drove around town, and they treated me like I was a king. Greatest part about recruiting. They treat you like you are it, and then you sign, and you are just a regular guy then.
509. Stacey has some really bad takes on candy. She belongs in a Snickers commercial. She must be hungry. Someone get her a Snickers
Stop.
Because Snickers satisfies.
No.
Everyone knows that.
Can Yelm repeat as State 3A champs?
Yelm, great story. I don't think they can, man. This is their first championship in school history. If you saw the play that won it for them, it was crazy. I don't know. I wouldn't put my money on it. I'd bet on Eastside Catholic before I bet on Yelm.
With such... This is another question. Oh, this one's about why the Hawks don't trade for a run defender. Trade deadline's passed. Everyone's telling me to try Snickers with almonds. That's not... It's a lateral move. The problem is I don't want either peanuts nor almonds in the candy bar. I would eat Snickers if it was just everything else without the peanuts.
So Milky Way, pretty much.
Yeah, I love Milky Ways. Milky Ways are great.
You like them better than Snickers. No, you don't.
If Milky Ways had caramel.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
Stacey just hops on the air every day and is like, how can my food takes get any worse? And then she goes and does it.
That's not true. Any food take is instantly discredited if it's from Stacey. What, because I have a well-developed palate?
That ain't it. It's because you have the palate of an 8-year-old.
The person that's like, all there needs to be 3 inches of space between all the food on my plate.
That's you.
Let's see. Oh, that's it. Okay, well, we're done now. The problem is I have one UW question that kept slipping down on the text line because everyone was just texting in their candy bar takes. So I did this to myself. I buried my own questions from other people's candy takes. My bad. Well, you guys are all interactive, which I do love. All right, that'll do it for What I Need to Know. And that will do it for Bump and Stacey. We will be back again tomorrow, 10 a.m., 2-hour show, and then the huddle at noon with Dave Wyman. For Michael Bumpus, Curtis Rogers, I'm Stacey Rost. Don't go anywhere. Wyman and Bob coming up next. We'll be right back.